Hi, everybody. This is Dawn Mitchell, and welcome to Dawn of Sports. This week, we have a great guest, and we're still talking Vikings after that draft that many people are saying is like the best draft ever, and we got what we wanted. The future is here. We have Lindsay Young from the Vikings. She is a writer and an editor for the team. You may have read some of her amazing stories that she puts out there on the platform. She's a fantastic person. The players love her, and she really brings them to life. So Lindsay Young will be our guest. And plus, Jim and I, we talk this crazy week in sports. You know what I'm talking about. Timberwolves, Timberwolves, Timberwolves. And what is going on with that meat sausage packing thing with the Twins? A lot to unpack.
Yes, welcome back to Dawn of Sports with our star, Dawn Mitchell of Fox 9 Sports. Dawn, sometimes we have to analyze the local teams. Sometimes we have to beat up the local teams. Sometimes we have to complain about the local teams. But there are times when a local team reminds us why we got in the business.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
So much fun to watch a team come together and, you know, all these different personalities mesh together. And it's fun to watch a young star develop. This was tremendous basketball the Timberwolves played. And it's a culmination of roster building and coaching and young guys growing up together and players playing for each other. This Timberwolves run is already one for the ages.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I just love it too, that they're really good. You said mentioned it, it's good basketball. It's not like this last game four, like they just blew them out door to door, you know? I enjoyed it. The one thing I did not enjoy, I'm sending head coach Chris Finch my best. You always got to get that little something different in Minnesota sports that happens. And unfortunately, that's what that was. But how Anthony Edwards has played. And then let's talk about Jaden McDaniel. I mean, you just go down the line. You know, you can say Kat, you can say Rudy. Like you said, it's this team has come together. And what I love, Jim, is these young guys, they're not afraid. They're not glazed over. They're not afraid to show their personality. I say protect Ant at all costs, even his post-game interviews. I mean, he is hilarious. I am like, let this guy just be. Like, this is him. I have been in that last jam that he had at the end when I was like, yes, I was like just screaming. I was off. Don't worry. There was no cheering at a press box. Just fun to watch. I'm glad that they swept. They can have some days to rest, but oh my God, you're absolutely right, Jim.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I feel bad that Chris Finch got hurt during kind of the crowning triumph of his coaching career so far. But you know, he'll be okay. They'll figure it out. At least for once, it wasn't a key Minnesota player being hurt.
Right.
Or they have a chance to win something. But you know, I really try to dive into the management side of sports and, you know, how general managers think, how organizations think, how coaches coach, how they get through to players. And the players always get the credit first because they're the ones doing it. And you can coach somebody well, or you can make what you think is a good decision and have it backfire if the player can't handle it. So the players always get the credit first. But Tim Connelly comes in here. He makes a trade that was unpopular. He makes a trade that did not work at all in its first year. And he not only did he not give up on it or start trading people away to try to make up for it, he believed in it. He stuck with it. But he also has, and I mentioned this on the John Krasinski show that we just recorded this morning, he's never gloated. I mean, the Gobert trade now looks like a genius move that elevated this franchise to, you know, championship level. And he's never gloated. So I've covered good teams before that I didn't really like. This team, between Connolly's, you know, humility, Finch's, you know, graciousness, and a group of players who really do seem not only likable, but seem to like each other, this is one of the better teams I've been around.
You're absolutely right. And what I really like, too, is we've seen different iterations, right, with different so-called stars that come and go. And I love seeing that Ant is allowed this room to be who he is. Kat has come back. You know, many people thought, all right, how is Kat going to, when he comes back from his injury, not even this one, the first one, how is he going to fit in? And for him to come in and not only play the way he has, but also to be such a good teammate, you know, they always say a rising tide, but there's room for personalities and egos. And I want to say that in the ultimate good way, because in order to play, you have to, you know, yes, believe in yourself and have that, you know, je ne sais quoi, whatever you want to call it. But I love that this team, they seem to like each other. They let each other be big, and they just seem to be getting better and better. So that with Jaden's three from the corner, when you just watch their passing, whether we know their defense is amazing, but just how they're in sync right now and they're humming along, I love it. And just to see them laughing and joking, and even when they showed a shot after the game and they're all surrounding Finch in the locker room and Chris is smiling and laughing, despite probably being like in a lot of pain, that was the snapshot that's going to stay with me. They weren't like, thinking we're the grass. They're around their coach and laughing and smiling. They just swept. So this team is a likable team. They're to watch. And man, I can't wait to see what they do in the next series.
This is Dawn of Sports. This is TalkNorth.com. We are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. I want to thank our sponsors, including Rudy Luther Toyota, Define Destinations, and Beta Bay Boat Club. We'll tell you more about them in a little bit. Later on, we're going to have our special guest, Lindsay Young, staff writer and editor for Vikings.com. She's a friend of Dawn and mine, and she does really good in-depth features. She's an excellent writer. She's a wonderful person, and she also is very open about, you know, her battles, as so many of us have, with mental health, and how you know, the view of the battle from positive mental health has become more of a good thing in sports rather than a deep, dark secret the way it used to be. So really good conversation with Lindsay Young coming up here. Let's have our Minnesota Aurora moment, and we'll go back to some other Minnesota sports.
Sure.
We love highlighting the Minnesota Aurora. Minnesota Aurora is again on Fox 9 Plus. Don, if I didn't say that right, let me know.
You are correct. Thank you.
Yes. We're friends with Andre Iacke, one of the key founders of the organization. So we like highlighting women's sports whenever we can. We love the Minnesota Aurora. They did just hire a couple of new assistant coaches. We recently had their head coach, Colette Montgomery, on this show. I recommend going back and listening to that show. You can find it at TalkNorth.com under Dawn of Sports. Ted Klazuski is going to be their first team assistant coach, and Nikki Lee. I'm not sure if it's Lee or Lay. We will find out in the coming weeks and correct it if I'm wrong. She's going to be the first team volunteer assistant coach, again, in the vein of this organization's trying to develop young talent and put them on the road to success. Now, Nikki gets a chance to work with a first-class organization and under Colette, who we think very highly of.
You know, and just a couple of days ago, they have a brand new midfielder. And what I really love about this team, not only are they sending former players to go overseas and play internationally, they're getting players from other countries. So, and I want to, hopefully I'm saying Jada's last name right, but it's Jada Zoe or Zoo. And she's a midfielder from San Michele Agtagliamento, Italy. And she was a 2023 points leader when she played soccer at her former team at Tennessee Tech. And so now she's coming to Minnesota Aurora. And I love the new influx of talent, and it's going to be fun. And just to see the looks on the faces, you know, for some of these new, not only players, but coaches that have not experienced the Aurora experience, that's going to be great to see too.
No doubt about it. And also want to let you know that training camp, Minnesota Lynx training camp, is opening up now. Interesting team. Kent Youngblood wrote about recently in my paper, they've gotten off a couple of really bad starts the last couple of years that have buried them. They've had to fight back from it. They're hoping to not have that happen this time. They have healthy in their prime guards. They have a very interesting draft choice. They have some returning talent. Of course, they have Nafisa Collier, is one of the best players in the league. So I would think they're going to be better this year, but it's tough in that league these days. But the Lynx are going to be interesting to watch. We're also going to give you updates, weekly updates on them during the season as well. Any other local sports you want to highlight before we get to Lindsay Young?
Yeah, there's two things. So first of all, coming up this Sunday, Minnesota Myth, they have their first home opener. So they just opened up on the 27th on the road. So they lost their, Ricky Foggy is their head coach. If you guys aren't aware, Minnesota has a brand new arena football team. And their home opener, their inaugural opener is May 5th, 5 o'clock at Target Center. And they're playing the Philadelphia Soul. So, you know, I just remember from my days when I was in Milwaukee, they had the, I believe it was the Milwaukee Mustang or something like that. So arena football is fun. It's like rock and roll football. It's fast paced. It's kind of craziness. So if you're kind of hoping for a little bit of taste of football, Target Center is your place. So you, when there's not the Timberwolves playing, you can also start getting your football fix. So that is May 5th against the Philadelphia Soul. The Minnesota Myth. And the only other thing I want to bring up, I love it, but it makes me kind of queasy at the same time, is this whole Twins thing with the meat sausage.
Oh, you beat me to it. Okay, we get it. Right, let's do this. I'm gonna yes. introduce our sponsors. We're gonna talk about the sausage, then we're gonna talk to Lindsay Young. I have so much to say about the sausage. I have a surprising amount to say about the summer sausage. We want to thank our longtime sponsor, our first sponsor on this program, Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
Also want to thank Define Destinations.
Looking to spice up your adventures? Well, you're in luck. Meet Define Destinations, your local tour company based right here in Minneapolis-St. Paul area with over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Define Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. DefineDestinations.com, where every journey is an adventure. That's DefineDestinations.com, your ticket to an unforgettable experience.
And we'd also like to thank one of our newer sponsors across the network, Beta Bay Boat Club.
Beta Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats, as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Beta Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business, and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at betabayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
Okay, so I was a baseball beat writer for a long time. What you learn, I covered the NFL for like four, I covered high schools for a long time, then I covered the NFL for 4 years, and they wanted me to transition to covering the Minnesota Twins. So I called like the best baseball writers in the country, and I was asking them, how do you go about this? How is covering baseball different than everything else? They said, you know, first of all, covering baseball is different because nobody else covers a game every day, right? There's a long game every single day. It's the opposite of football, which is mostly about speculation and setup and everything else. So, but they also said, but what you're really going to learn as a beat writer is baseball players are really messed up. And it's so true. There's something about having to perform in public on a daily basis in a game that highlights failure. In a game where if you hit 300, you're great. There's something about the mentality of the people who have to deal with this stuff. And there's no other sport that has more superstitions or more weird stuff happening in the clubhouse than in baseball. So this year, they got off to a terrible start offensively. Kyle Farmer had done an ad for, I think, Cloverfield sausage. They sent him a sausage as a thank you. He didn't want to eat it. He puts it in the clubhouse. So they're in a terrible slump. They're having a terrible game against the worst team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox last week. And Kyle Farmer grabs the summer sausage and brings it out to the dugout, People start touching it before they go up to plate. They get five straight hits. They go on a tear. They win seven straight games. They start tearing the cover off the ball. It is the quintessential goofy baseball story.
Oh, and I just loved hearing Rocco talk about it. He's like, you know, the thing is, look, you got to look for the expiration date. Like, you know, like the thing, like if it opens up, someone's immediately going to be sick. You know, it's going to be like, they'll have a new player on the team, Sal Manila. You know, like it's so bad. It's so good. Now, he didn't say the Sal Manila part. I just threw that in there, but maybe that's what they can nickname the thing Sal after this, but
Oh my God.
I'm just like, that's so, first of all, it's so athletics, right? It's so like the weirdest things work, but baseball for sure. It's like Joe Boo 10 times with some bad old, I'm not saying the sausage is bad. It's probably fantastic. But right now, if it's past the expiration date, I mean, it has not been in a refrigerator. It's just out there. It's so funny. I just can't stand it. For a girl that was raised with four brothers and thinks nothing can shock her, when I heard Rocco start talking about this, I was like, what? That's what they were touching? That's what they're throwing? Oh my God. I had no idea what it was.
And I don't want to, I'm going to really try to avoid any untoward puns, but this is the goofiest thing I've seen in a Twins clubhouse since Mike Redmond played for the Twins. And whenever the team was in a slump, he would walk around naked. And we would be like, I mean, naked for no reason at a time of day you shouldn't be completely naked. Unabashedly naked, let's put it that way. Proudly naked. And he didn't have a great body either, and he knew that. So we were like, Mike, why are you walking around naked? He said, nothing will take your mind off a slump like the sight of my body.
I did not know that.
Yes. Baseball is the weirdest freaking sport. And it's why even when the Twins are losing, even when the games are bad, I still just love the sport, because no other sport creates the kind of weirdos that baseball does.
Yeah. And I am here for all of it. It's glorious. Fantastic. That's what I love. I do have an FTG this week.
Oh, bring it.
Devin Booker. He is such a punk. He was, for years past, where he's been this kind of guy that just is chippy and pushy and blocking, and you know what I mean? Just like, not just annoying and doing his job, but kind of like doing it a little bit too much. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing. I know he's not the one that really fell into Chris Finch, but he was over there and Mike Conley went to kind of make sure that he wasn't. And then Mike Conley didn't want to fall a certain way. And Devin Booker, yeah, he's my FTG this week.
Okay, I'm gonna look at it a little differently. Devin Booker is annoying, and he's chippy and he's chirpy. And if you're playing against him, of course you're not gonna like him. But I actually think he does his job. He uses physicality to get under people's skin. He pushes the envelope. He tries to see what he can get away with the officials. If he played for the Wolves, we would love him.
I didn't say Kevin he didn't Durant, do his job.
Yeah. Kevin Durant now. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players, maybe one of the greatest scorers in the history of the NBA. And he goes to the Suns, signs on to play with other stars, knowing that he has to carry the team. And as soon as they lose, all what you see is all these back channel leaks to insider reporters saying, oh, he didn't like the organization, he didn't like the offense. He's way too whiny to be a great, you know, he's a great player, but he's way too whiny of a great player for me. And Bradley Beal, just looked like he was pouting the entire series. He looked like he figured out in the first quarter of the first game that the Wolves were better than they were and tougher and deeper, and they were going to get beat up. And he just played with a pout on his face. Do I like Devin Booker? No. But I'd rather have Devin Booker than either of these other guys.
Well, you know, the one thing I do like about KD is his little, thing going on with Ant, and that one time when they're really jawing, and then he was laughing. Like, he's like, that's basketball, man. You know, like, he was loving it. So I'll always like KD. I don't know. We don't know the inside things that do happen on teams, but.
Sure.
But yeah, like that's what we're saying. Hey, they can do their job or not do their job. That's not what what we're saying. Sometimes we just don't like what they do.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I absolutely get it. All right, we're going to have Lindsay Young on again, a friend of ours, writes for Vikings.com, does a great job for them. And we'll let the interview speak for itself. But one thing I would say, because we've already recorded the interview, is Lindsay was talking about taking all these writing courses and all these English courses in college. You know, that's what I did. And I, you know, if I were a sports editor, I would hire people who studied writing more than people who studied journalism. You can teach somebody to be a journalist. You can't teach somebody to write.
You know, absolutely. Writing was my thing. You know, even though I was a communications major, I had to pick either communications or English. And but I was a writer. That's what I thought that's what I was going to do, you know. In journalism, you kind of, it's a switch, especially television, right? It's like you know how to write. And then you're like, okay, everything you take there, squish it. Squish it down to the facts, get rid of like half the words, you know, that kind of stuff, but still make it have facts and this and that. In order to do what Lindsay does, and it's amazing, especially to write for a team, is, you know, you want to get who these players are and illustrate who they are in the written word and try to what we can say, you know, with words and on TV and highlights. You do the same thing, Jim. You have to describe these athletes with words. And sometimes that's a lost art nowadays. And I truly appreciate people like you and like Lindsay who can do that and bring these players to life, because 9 times out of 10, the fans, they won't meet them face to face. So they want to see what they're about. And kudos to both of you for doing that. So that's what I really wanted to talk to Lindsay about. And she's a huge proponent for mental health, and she puts her own self out there to help others. So especially after the draft, she was the perfect person that I wanted to speak with.
As promised, one of our favorite people in the marketplace, Lindsay Young, who works as a writer and an editor with the Minnesota Vikings, does a lot of stuff for the website and writes a lot of really great features that really highlight the personality of Vikings players. Dawn, take it away.
Oh, I'm so excited, Jim, to have Lindsay on. Lindsay Young is fantastic. If you haven't read any of her articles or even seen any of her videos and interviews that she does, there's always an extra dose of humanity. That's what I like to say. Like you keep it real, Lindsay. So thank you for coming on our show. And thank you for always being true to yourself in your writing, because it just comes through. And I think the athletes feel so at ease with you because that's what you exude. So thanks for being on here today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys both for having me on. I really love both of you, and I'm honored to be on the show today. I'm looking forward to it.
Lindsay, I remember you even before you started working for the Vikings. Can you tell our listeners what your journey was to get there? Because some people's like, wow, how did she get that job?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I love about this question or this answer too is I feel like everybody's is so different. So I always tell everybody, like, you know, if I'm talking to college students or something like that who want to get into this industry, I don't think that there's necessarily like one correct path that leads there. But I do think that there are, you know, right things to do and kind of the right approach to take. So, you know, for me, born and raised in Minnesota, grew up loving Minnesota sports. It really kind of started out as a way to hang out with my dad, spend some one-on-one time with him, especially watching the Vikings and the Timberwolves, really gravitated specifically towards those sports. And, you know, it was kind of a bonding thing for he and I to do together. But really developed a real interest in the sports myself and have really loved writing from a young age, too. I can remember being in elementary school and just filling up notebooks with stories or journal assignments from school and really loved doing that. And so when I got to college, I definitely had an interest in working in sports journalism. I went to the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. But I had really never done it before. I went to a smaller Christian school in the Twin Cities, and they didn't have at the time a lot of like journalism or communications options. And so when I got to college, I decided to go ahead, and my major was actually English with a writing concentration. So it was not journalism or communications, but I took a huge variety of writing classes, which I loved. Everything from poetry and fiction writing to magazine writing and autobiographical writing, tech writing, which was probably my least favorite. But then my last 2 years of school, I worked for the campus newspaper in the sports section. I wrote both years, and then my senior year, I was the sports section editor, and so I learned a lot about layouts and things like that. And I also was able to intern that season with the Minnesota Timberwolves, which I just posted actually some pictures on my Twitter from that season, because it was a rough season as far as the Wolves go. And obviously they're thriving right now. But I loved that group of players that I got to work with and learned so, so much. And that was the 2009-2010 season. And it really cemented what I wanted to do. I could probably talk for an hour about, you know, my general journey, but I'll just say that, you know, from when I graduated in 2010 to when I started with the Vikings in December 2015, I was working a couple of different jobs. I was working full time back at my alma mater, running the tutoring center on campus, the writing center. And I was also working as a server at Ruby Tuesdays, and I was doing all of the writing that I could, whether it be some freelance stories for a few of the local outlets. I was doing some editing for Bleacher Report. I was writing for a couple of local Vikings blogs as well, and doing some contract stuff for the Timberwolves here and there. And in the summer of 2015, I had the opportunity to do some contract work for the Vikings during training camp, which was incredible. And then at the time, they hired somebody, Scott Kegley, who he's with the Falcons now, but he came in and really ramped up even more kind of the editorial and digital content team. And so there was a position opening, and I was able to apply for it and get it. And so, you know, when I was in the midst of it, it felt like a long kind of slog of a journey. But now in hindsight, I'm just so grateful for everything that I experienced during that time. And like, it really still is a pinch me moment that I get to work for the team that I really grew up, you know, watching and rooting for.
What I really love about this story is people just automatically say, oh, what an overnight sensation, right? She graduated college. Now she writes for the Vikings. They skip over the hard part of everything that you just explained, right? But like you said, there's also that fun in that journey. Like, you're grateful for it, but there's no overnight sensations when it comes to writing in sports journalism, is there?
Right. Right, exactly. It does take a lot of hard work, but I think, you know, that was part of the reward as well. And it really confirmed or affirmed to me that, like, this was something that I really loved to do and was passionate about it. I can remember, you know, friends saying, because I was really grinding there for a while and was really maybe overly busy for a few years. And I had a couple of friends say, like, why don't you just, you know, let something go, one of those things go. And I was like, because the writing, you know, like, I need these, the full-time job to pay my bills and to, you know, have benefits and everything. And writing was what I really wanted to do. So I just couldn't let that part go.
And it's also easier for people who are not in the business to say, can you just let one of those go? And you're like, not until I get what you have, a full-time job.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, so now you're with the Vikings. And what I have seen, because I've seen you over the years, such a great group from behind the scenes. And you guys do a great job of really getting in. And I know when I was growing up, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is when I was young, I would sit and watch all the in-between the periods, intermission interviews of the players for the Boston Bruins. Like, I was intrigued by that. I wanted to learn more about the players, like what made them tick, because when they put the helmet on, they went on the ice, that, you know, you knew a little bit more about them. And so you really get a chance to dig into to who these players are and really give them a profile that's not on the field.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I really love about it, because I think what I am able to do here with the Vikings really intertwines multiple passions and interests that I have. Like, I love football. That's why, you know, I always dreamed of either working in basketball or football. And so I love football. Game days are probably my favorite part of the job, like the energy and all of that. You can't, you know, there's no substitute for that. But this other passion that I have is just this idea of storytelling. And I think that everybody has a story that deserves to be told, that should be told. And I always try to tell people, like, this is your story. I happen to know where to put commas and colons and use them, you know, correctly, and maybe use some creative language, but like, it's your story. How can I help tell it? And so that's something that I'm really honored to do, whether it's, you know, Justin Jefferson or a player who might not make final cuts or a really dedicated fan. I love doing that.
Okay, present day, you're just coming off the craziness of the NFL draft, you know, which is even more amped up when you're with a team, right? Like, who's it going to be? Who are we going to feature? What are we going to do? We got to get these draft picks, blah, blah, blah. How is this craziness for you?
Yeah, I love draft weekend. I feel like I go into it with all of this adrenaline and excitement because it really is signifying kind of a fresh start, you know, like whatever happened the year before, whether it was great or horrible, like you're having this fresh start with a new team and you're not sure who you're going to draft. Everybody has guesses, but you just never know at the end of the day. And so it was really exciting. Personally, I was really hoping that the Vikings would draft J.J. McCarthy, which it did end up working, and being able to get him without giving up a first rounder next year was super exciting. And also to get Dallas Turner as well, being able to trade up to 17, like just it felt like a really exciting first night. And heading home that night, I think we just had so much energy. It was like 3 a.m. before I went to bed, and I just was still kind of like wound up. Very, very busy. I know by Saturday night when I leave the facility, I am absolutely exhausted and my brain feels kind of mushy. But generally speaking, like it's so exciting. And I know you would agree because there's new stories to tell and new people to meet. And I know, Don, that you really enjoy that as well. And Jim, like there's so much intrigue about getting to know these new personalities and seeing how they might fit onto the team, obviously from a football perspective, but also to just a locker room perspective. And so it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it was super crazy. I really enjoyed it. It was I enjoyed draft night anyway, but this one was awesome. Just seeing all the quarterbacks go off the board, how things got a little tense, like, okay, now where are the chips going to fall and can they do it? And you know, that was awesome. So talking to JJ and to Dallas that first day, what did you like the most about both of them? If you could pinpoint just one thing. I know it's so hard when they've just come in here really quickly.
Yeah, it is hard. But I think with JJ, the thing that I liked most about hearing from him was just how genuinely you could tell he wanted to be here and he wanted to be a Viking. And I think that part just is exciting to me, kind of in multiple ways, like being someone who grew up here and, you know, having an affinity for the Midwest. It was fun to kind of see him get excited about staying in the Midwest. But I think also just that piece too, where I feel like if you're really genuinely excited to be somewhere and you had wanted to be there and that's where you end up, like, I think it just gets you off to the right start, you know? And so that was probably it. With JJ, that was probably the top thing. And then with Dallas, he just has a lot of personality. It was fun, like having the call with him that night. And, you know, there's a lot of chaos and it always seems a little like the call is usually not super long. And then you get them in the building the next day. And I felt like he just had so much personality. And he right away was kind of same thing, talking about his excitement for being in Brian Flores' defense. And he said he noticed the sacks right away. So obviously excited to be a pass rusher. Hopefully we'll get some of those sacks himself in Flores' defense. So I guess both of them, just kind of their personalities and excitement. And then hopefully seeing Dallas really be able to affect the quarterback too.
Yeah, it cracked me up when he was like, I'm not going to lie, you know, when I faced JJ last time and we lost in the Rose Bowl, I was a little salty, even when it kind of went out on social media, even crying a little bit.
Unfollowed him.
I love that. Like, yes, like that's who they are before they come here. And then, you know,
right.
Some guys just open up more, but sometimes you kind of get that, all right, I'm in the NFL now. I kind of got to focus and glaze over. So to see how natural they both were, that was awesome.
Exactly.
So before we talk any more football, I really, first of all, want to give you your flowers on this. And because you're with the Vikings and they also give you a chance to have this platform, Lindsay, you are such a proponent and you really move the needle forward when it comes to focusing on mental health. And not only do you do it in such a gracious, beautiful way with your words, you also put your own life out there to help others. And it's a two-part question. First of all, I want to thank you for the strength to do that. But the first part is, was it scary to actually open up that part and be vulnerable? And the players, how did that make you feel? Because I think they really welcomed it.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for saying that, Dawn. And I know, you know, offline, you and I have talked and you've always been so, so supportive, both of me as a person and kind of my journey in this area, but then also in the content that's been able to come out of it as well. So I was, you know, mental health has been something that has been important to me for a long time. If people have heard my story, you know, anxiety, clinical anxiety is something that I have dealt with from a really young age. And then more in recent years, depression has been something that has kind of come and gone and been another thing to kind of deal with, I suppose you could say. But I've always wanted to use my story or my experience to help other people who might be going through the same thing, because there's so much power in just finding somebody who just resonates with what you're saying, or to feel like, you know, you're heard, or to hear somebody else's story and say, yeah, like that's exactly it. She's putting into words, or he's putting into words how I feel. And so I've always kind of wanted to do that and didn't know what that would look like. I feel like most of my life I've been pretty open about my experience with like the people that are close to me. It never was really a secret. However, that being said, like I had a not so great experience at a previous workplace with kind of sharing my experiences and some of my struggles with somebody who was in management. And so I had nervousness coming into the Vikings about whether or not I wanted to share that. When I first started with the Vikings, I was the first woman just in our content department in Vikings Entertainment Network, certainly not with the organization, but the first woman in that department. And I had all of these awesome men that I worked with, and they were all tremendous advocates. But, you know, I'm like, I'm already, you know, kind of the emotional one. I'm the one that will cry over this really touching story. Like, I don't know if I want to add to that. And so aside from people knowing that I didn't like to fly and that I had a lot of anxiety around that, I never really talked about anything else around my experience. During 2020, which was, of course, extremely difficult for, I think, everybody in one way or another. I had a lot of health anxiety around COVID and around the pandemic. And I ended up getting COVID myself. And it just kind of triggered mainly mental, a little bit physical as well, just this huge spiral. And I think it's important to talk about that, you know, it was a really hard time. I really felt like I hit rock bottom. You know, I was in a really dark place. I was not able to eat, sleep, work. Like, I just was not functioning. And so it got to a point where just logistically, like, I had to share that with the people that I work with and with my managers and stuff. And I remember sending that email and just, like, sobbing as I sent it because I was so scared about what that would mean or what people might think of me, or if they would think that they couldn't trust me with work or big projects moving forward. And the support was so incredible, Dawn. Like, it just blew me away. I shouldn't have been surprised, but it was just so welcome after, like I said, I had had a negative experience previously. And I think that support, like full support, just gave me, you know, I wanted to step forward and do other things. And so That's where the Getting Open series started. Obviously, kind of a play on getting open during a football game, but also this idea of getting open and talking about our struggles, whether it's our own struggles, maybe it's someone close to us that deals with mental illness and that affects us indirectly. And so since 2021, we've been able to tell I think close to 20 different stories around mental health and just trying to break down that stigma, especially within athletics, right? And especially with men too, like breaking down the stigma around talking about mental health, around seeing a therapist, you know, around sharing with others. And so I know that's a very long answer to your question. And so I apologize, but I just keep going.
It's so good.
And Lindsay, have you seen major changes in the way the Vikings or people in professional sports deal with this? Because I know when I started writing about sports, men weren't, well, people, but especially athletes themselves. And back then I covered mostly men. They kind of weren't allowed to show any vulnerabilities or act like anything could possibly bother them. What is the change you've seen in the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started with the Vikings, you know, I came in at 2015. And so at that time, like they already had some resources in place for the team and for the players, which I really appreciated. I thought it was great that, you know, players or staff members like had an ability to go and talk to a team psychologist, that there were resources as far as, you know, ADP and things that HR would send out. And so I really loved that. So I thought that that was huge. But the thing that I've noticed is maybe more just individually on people being so comfortable with, maybe not so comfortable, but willing or feeling drawn to share their stories or to talk about different things. And I remember when I first did the series, it all started because I was going to do one story on Jalen Holmes, who used to be here with the Vikings, because he had posted some things from his personal Instagram account about his own battles with anxiety. And so I could tell he was really open to talking about it. And so I went to our staff and our PR staff and I said, "What do you think about this?" And they loved the idea. And they actually came back and said, "I wonder if this could actually be like a little mini series, you know, instead of just this feature on Jalen." And so we kind of brainstormed together and I came back to the table and said, "You know, I think I could probably get like 4 or 5 stories out of this." And that first year we ended up doing 11. And I was just blown away by the people that came forward. Like I remember specifically with Tyler Conklin, he had worn cleats for My Cause My Cleats to honor his uncle who had passed away either before he was born or when he was very young, passed away after a battle with mental illness. And so I went to Tyler to see about his comfort level and sharing his uncle's story and his cleats and everything like that. And I had no idea that Tyler dealt with any sort of anxiety or, you know, personal challenges himself. I was just asking about his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
And so I had no idea that he had any of his own struggles with anxiety. And, you know, he approached me and was like, "Hey, Lindsay, like, this is something that I've dealt with and I've really never talked about it before, but I feel like I want to." And so him coming forward and sharing that story for me was so powerful to see that not only did he kind of feel this draw to share it, to hopefully help other people, but that I had been able to create a space that was safe enough for him to feel like he could do that. And that has been really important to me throughout this whole process is, you know, creating a safe space, letting people know that I would never push anybody to share their story. I mean, I didn't share mine until I was 32, 33. And so I never want to push anybody, but I want to be an advocate for them and come along and support them. So Jim, to answer your question, yeah, I think the Vikings organization has been doing some really great things and continues to do that. But when I see, you know, individual players having these conversations, reaching out to me to be a part of the series, sharing the series, talking about seeing a therapist or talking, maybe it's not seeing a therapist, maybe it's talking to a friend or whatever, but just being honest and vulnerable, I think is huge. And I think in sports, like in general, you're just kind of seeing a shift a little bit more to that, you know, seeing a therapist or maintaining your mental health, like, is just as important as maintaining your physical health. And so talking to somebody or, you know, making sure that you're getting outside and getting your vitamin D and meditating or praying or whatever that might look like for you, like that's actually a sign of strength and not of weakness. And I think the tide is kind of turning there, which is incredible to see.
Well, Lindsay, I want you to know you always have a space here on our podcast to speak on this. And I know you have to run, but before you do, because I think this is important and hopefully you can come back at a later date and talk about this, you have a project that you're working on that's very important in this area, isn't it?
You
want to tell us about it?
Yeah. So if anybody is not familiar with Prairie Care Fund, it is a local nonprofit here in the Twin Cities, and Prairie Care Fund is specifically focused on youth mental health and in putting resources into schools throughout the state of Minnesota that can help children at a younger age just know how to talk through some of these feelings, maybe just identify it, because sometimes just identifying what you're feeling is help enough to kind of just navigate that or move forward. It also puts resources into schools to help the teachers or the administrators know how to work with students or know how to maybe identify some of these concerns. And it's just so great to me to see this happening like at a really young age and to see what Prairie Care Fund is doing. And so I've been an ambassador for Prairie Care Fund for the past 2 years, and now I'm really excited to be working with them a little bit, kind of on an informal marketing task force to really help raise brand awareness and just share the good news of what they're doing, because they've raised an incredible amount of money to be able to provide these schools with resources. But I think as the word gets out and as schools realize these things are available, that gap is still there. So I'm super passionate about it. I would love to share more with anybody who might have questions or just want to look into what the organization does. But highly encourage people to just check it out and see if that might be something that you're willing to support. And it doesn't have to be financially either. Just, you know, sharing their social media posts or paying attention to fun events that they have coming up is really great. So I appreciate the platform to share that because it's really near and dear to my heart.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. And if you have our space here, so if you ever want to come on again and we can talk at length about this, I know you've got like 3-4 fires going on and projects going on while you're with the Vikings right now. So I just thank you so much for your time and yes, for your efforts. I think it's very important what you do, not only in terms of football, but also with mental health. You're a dynamic, wonderful, and I can tell people like on a personal level, just an amazing person. So thank you so much for sharing with us today, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Dawn and Jim, and I'm sure I'll see you guys both soon at the facility, and I look forward to that and definitely hop on the podcast at another time as well.
Fantastic. All right, yeah. Thank you, Lindsay.
All right, thanks, Lindsay. Say hey to Craig Peters for us, another great writer over there. All right, we'll talk soon.
I will.
Bye.